Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper recently said that North Korea's nuclear and missile programs pose a global threat after Pyongyang's unveiling of a previously unseen intercontinental ballistic missile at a pre-dawn military parade. Let's get Don Pierce on the line with us right now to talk about that. Don, of course, is a retired special agent from the U.S. Department of Commerce and now consultant at Sentinel LLC. Don, welcome back to Weekend Mornings. Great to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me on, Glenn, especially to talk about rockets.
Well, yeah, indeed. And North Korea seems to have gotten lost in the shuffle of so many other pressing issues, or at least issues that are getting the media spotlight these days. But they had this military parade, a very, you know, Stalinist throwback to those old military parades we saw so much of in the 70s and 80s. Tell us what we saw there and what should we be concerned about.
That's right. And this was a showcase several new technologies, from small arms up to the what's now possibly the largest road mobile intercontinental ballistic missile of the liquid propellant type. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
It demonstrated that even with sanctions, international sanctions and UN sanctions, it is apparent that North Korea has found a way to get by and to continue to develop military technology. And to me, that, I think, is the real takeaway.
Mm. And, Don, you know, the U.S. seems to really have dropped the ball on North Korea, unless there's a whole lot happening behind the scenes that we aren't privy to as civilians. But certainly there haven't been any real results in the past year and a half since the Singapore summit. What exactly is the U.S. doing to try to contain whatever threat there may be from North Korea?
So I think the United States is in a very peculiar position in that it is normally the vanguard of sanctions and the vanguard of enforcement of same. And with the shifting priorities in the Trump administration, I think it's been difficult for folks at the enforcement end and also on the policy end to make a coherent and actionable plan of action against these types of developments.
Yeah, and when we look at the coherent plan, which, you know, hasn't at least if there is one, it hasn't really been implemented in any successful way. But what are the possibilities, for example, that China will play a more important role? I mean, they've already, of course, been allies with North Korea for decades, an important ally. Is China have now more influence? I mean, over the years, it's even been seen that they haven't had a lot of influence with Pyongyang when various missile tests have gone off and things like that. So who is the power broker here now with North Korea? Surely it's not South Korea, is it?
And I think you're right on target with China and also with Russia now having probably a more outsized role in how North Korea is going to act and what it's going to do, partially because of the fact that in both countries are very close and are trading partners. There's regular trade across both borders. And frankly, North Korea is depending on both of them for the subsistence level aid to keep people fed and keep the lights on.
Of course, South Korea, Japan, and now the U.S. are all very concerned about this, the threat of ICBMs being able to be launched from North Korea. Do you get the sense that China and Russia are as concerned about the militarization of North Korea, or because of their relationship, they're not so concerned about it?
I don't think they share the same concerns. I believe there is a region-wide concern for the abilities of North Korea to start projecting power. Mm. It is rather limited at this point. I mean, even if you go with the current thought of many Korea watchers that, you know, the number of nuclear weapons is in the dozens, and the number of delivery systems similar, it does pose a threat. And it poses a threat not just to the United States, but to capitals anywhere within reach of their missiles. And with significant advances in their intercontinental ballistic missile capabilities. That basically puts everyone in play.
Speaking with Don Pierce, the retired special agent from the U.S. Department of Commerce and now a consultant at Sentinel LLC in Washington, D.C. Don, recently the Secretary of State was in the Indo-Pacific region, in Japan, in went to India, was talking about China-India relations, and of course trying to put the line in the sand once again between the U.S. and China in this part of the world. There was not a lot of news coming out during his trip about U.S.-North Korea, however, unless I missed something during that trip that he had there. What's your sense on that? Was there enough engagement from when he was here and talking about all these other issues? And to be sure, there are many in the Asia-Pacific region. Did he say enough or about North Korea during that trip?
I don't think there was enough said about North Korea, but I think part of the reason for that is it's also there's not a lot coming out of North Korea about the United States. In fact, in the speech that came before the big military parade, Kim never mentioned the United States. Mm. There were some, you know, kind of glancing blows about hegemonic enemies of the people, but nothing directly toward the United States. And I think that's because right now on both sides, everyone is basically waiting to see how the November elections shake out and what the new teacher is going to look like next year.
Yeah. You've been, in or connected to government for decades in the U.S., and how does a government like the U.S. effectively juggle so many important challenges at the same time? Over the years, we've seen some administrations have done it better than others, but there's just so many pressing issues at the moment. Just if you look in the Asia-Pacific region, never mind the rest of the world, how do the successful governments that you've seen over the decades tackle those at the same time?
I have to admit, I think there's always it's a cyclical nature where you'll have in almost every administration, there's going to be a point where everything is firing on all cylinders, where it appears that you've got a handle on all of the major pressing issues and all of the minor issues that are basically niche in nature or really just a very small area of people that are interested in are being at least maintained. And I think, unfortunately, with the 24-hour news cycle and the internet and now the threat of disinformation operations on a broader scale, it's getting harder to find that balance point because depending on the day of the week, what you thought might have been the top line issue, let's say a new ICBM in North Korea, a year and a half to 2 years ago, that might have been the story we were talking about for 5 days. This year, it wasn't. It was talked about in the North Korea community, the North Korea watchers, and those of us in the open source intelligence world are talking about it all the time. But again, and that's an interesting angle too. You have people that have a deeper knowledge on some of these more arcane issues because of the fact that I can go on the internet and thanks to the good folks at NK News, watch the parade with commentary as soon as anyone else in the world was able to see it. 20 years ago, that never would have happened.
Well, where do we think the U.S. will go and North Korea, you know, relations will go from here? Or will it be time for perhaps ASEAN to step in and to exert more influence or pressure, if that's even possible? Who's the next player? What's the next move on the chessboard?
That's a really good question, Glenn. And I think a lot of that is going to have to wait until after the election is sorted. There are some people that think that Kim might be holding off on testing that big boy rocket only because he wants to see whether Donald Trump is going to be his interlocutor for another 4 years. If that's the case, he may hold off longer. If he gets Joe Biden, perhaps that changes the math. Either way, I think a test between now and December is possible but unlikely unless something changes. And I feel like I say that about almost everything nowadays, but it's increasingly difficult to make predictions because of the fact that we don't have this established pattern that you normally see in international relations of a frontline, main drive to try and get to yes, with a track two in the background working out the technical details. And we haven't seen that here.
But Don Pierce, thanks so much for being with us. As always, I appreciate your insights coming out of Washington, D.C.
My pleasure. Anytime, Glenn.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.